This celebration of Epiphany, which literally means the manifestation, the revelation, is, as we sometimes forget, a very central celebration in Eastern Christendom, perhaps because the roots of their beginnings are represented in what's celebrated in Epiphany, because it is a celebration that focuses on the visit of the Magi, or the wise men as they're designated sometimes, to the newborn Christ child. Now, this is a mysterious story. I say that because in all of the other accounts related to the birth of Jesus, there is care in the scriptural record to point out how the coming of Jesus is the fulfillment of things, the link between Bethlehem and King David, and references such as that. In this case, it appears kind of mysteriously because it's one of those stories that we don't have a beginning point for, and we don't really have an ending point for. By that I mean, when you read Matthew's account, and it only appears in Matthew's gospel, there are lots of questions. I mean, who were they? Doesn't say. Where do they come from? We aren't told. What exactly was this indication in the heavens that made them understand and believe that something dramatic was happening, and that it was happening somehow in Israel? And again, there's reference to the star, or something certainly that was in the sky, but again, details aren't specific. They found their way to Jerusalem. They came, we are told by Matthew, inquiring as to the birth of a king. Well, Matthew conveys very emphatically in his account the stir that that created in Jerusalem. After all, Herod really didn't want to hear about a king being born. He was the king. And in fact, in that moment in history, Herod's position in his kingdom was probably rather shaky. And this seemed like an absolute threat to him. And Herod, who kind of lived in a partly Jewish world and yet was in many respects quite pagan, he inquired of the chief priests and the scribes about this question. And they told him that the prophets say Bethlehem. And so Herod relays this to the Magi and then adds to it this, as we know, a very false request, because Herod says, now you go, and if you find him, you come back and tell me, because I want to honor him too. And of course we know that Herod's intentions had nothing to do with honoring this new child. It had all to do with making him go away. But it's a mysterious story in that It invites all sorts of speculation because the details provided are sparse, but they tell something rather significant. As a consequence of the sparseness of the details, human ingenuity has not failed to provide all sorts of things that the scriptures do not. Because in the traditions that descend from this account in Matthew, by this time in history, you know, the wise men, well, have we pretty much settled on the fact there were three of them, though the account doesn't say that. We've given them names. We've added a fair amount of extra things that the record of the scriptures don't provide for us. But in it all, there is a sense of wonder and mystery. And of course, when we portray this in the Christmas season, we often jumble it all up together. Because we're reminded that the shepherds who made their visit to the Christ child at the time of the birth weren't there at the same time as the wise men, though we usually, in our portrayal of this and Christmas cards and so forth, get them all there together. It's the group photo. These events come together to fill in the details that God's people need to know about the birth of Christ. And part of it is this kingly side. Now, it's not as though that comes only from the account of the visit of the Magi, though they emphasize that they came to honor a new king. But of course it's there in the very accounts to Mary and Joseph and in the things that lead up to the birth of Christ in the other gospel records. But the interesting dimension to this is that this didn't come out of Israel. These visitors, these magi, whoever they were, wherever they came from, they weren't descendants of Abraham. They came at God's beckoning, but they came as people from a whole different background than all the other individuals included in the stories of the birth of Christ. And that's the dimension of this account, which is so significant. Now, again, the account doesn't answer every question we might have when we read it. I mean, the wise men heeded the warning they received in a dream not to go back to Herod. They went home. But don't you wonder what their conversation with each other was as they made their way back home, wherever that was? They had seen something. They believed, you see, that their mission had been accomplished. They'd not been thwarted. They had seen what they came to see. Perhaps it didn't quite measure up to their initial expectations. After all, they saw a king, but in very humble circumstances. Not in any palace, not in any luxurious place, not in any place connected with power. In fact, Herod, who represented power in Judah, didn't know anything about it. But they were satisfied that the reason they had come had been fulfilled. And can't you just imagine them going home and saying to each other, what does it all this mean? And they had a sense, you see, I'm sure, that they had stepped into a hornet's nest. They understood that they shouldn't go back to Herod because there was going to be turmoil. And if I'd read through further in Matthew, we would have seen the form that that turmoil took. And yet they went home knowing that God had brought them there for a purpose. And it represented, surely, the fact that this event in Bethlehem and this visit by the wise men, we don't know exactly when it happened, sometime after the birth, but that this visit had verified the fact that something very dramatic was happening. God was intending to bring this good news not just to the descendants of Abraham, but that this good news was for the whole world. And these mysterious visitors from someplace to the east represented that new dimension to faith in a very dramatic way. Remember now, they went home not knowing much more than that they had seen an infant that they believed and were satisfied was the king born that they were brought there to view. And yet one thinks that they were filled with wonder and conversation. What did this mean? What were they supposed to do about it? Why had they been brought into these events? Because this was now part of their understanding that most of the rest of the world wouldn't catch up on for about 30 years until Jesus began his public ministry. Most of the rest of the world didn't get a vision of the significance of the Messiah's coming, at least in terms of it being for the Gentiles' salvation as well as the salvation of the Jews. And there's another interesting, intriguing dimension to all this. You know, our New Testament record concerning the ministry of Christ, and especially that record of the events that happened after the resurrection and ascension, namely the things recorded for us in the Acts of the Apostles and in the Epistles. Those things, those events that are told to us and preserved for us in the New Testament are a segment of what was happening. By that I mean they focus mostly on the ministry of Paul and others that was located around from Palestine around the shores of the Mediterranean. And in that territory that had been the heartland of the Greek and Roman empires. We're not told very much about what was happening in other parts of the world. But we do know that from a very early time, there was a strong Christian presence in parts of Africa. We know that from a very early time, there was a strong Christian presence off to the east of all things. And isn't it intriguing to wonder if and how, by the grace of God, and whether or not the Magi had any hand in setting the scene for a people to be expectant of an act of God's grace. They didn't have many details to share, you know, but they believed that they had been brought there to witness something dramatic and significant. And I can't really believe myself that they went home and just forgot about it. I think they went home and shared what they had seen and heard with all the questions that probably were attached to it, but setting the scene for the people that they encountered to expect that sometime in the not too distant future, they should expect that something was going to happen because this child had been born. And so Epiphany marks a significant thing, that this good news of Jesus Christ was intended for the whole world. And at least, at the very least, the coming of the Magi to the Christ child lets us know that this was for the world. I leave you one thought to ponder. Because, you see, in a way, this ends, Epiphany ends our celebration of the Christmas season. Christ Child candle is lit this morning. That symbol will disappear. Not that we couldn't keep it there, but it sort of represents the end of the cycle of the story. But, you know, I think that one of the questions on the minds of these Magi as they made their way home must have been, why me? Why did this message come to us? What are we supposed to do about it? What, out of all the people in the world, why is it that we were the ones who were given understanding that this sign in the heavens meant these things? And having gone there and having seen what was there, now what are we to do? And I just suggest to you that, you know, that question, why me, is a very good one for all of us to ask. Because here we are, by the grace of God, brought to a community of faith, and not because we have spectacular achievements, not because we are somehow more valuable than anyone else. And we ask ourselves the question, why me, Lord? Thank you, but why me? And of course, I suspect that the Magi said to themselves, and here I'm just speculating, but can't help thinking, if God brings us into something, surely there's a purpose. And if God has brought us to faith, we better not lose a concern for understanding what God's purpose was in all that. So, take that home with you. Think about it. Because God has in Christ called you to be his people. And together we say, Lord, thank you. And at the same time we say, Lord, why me? This is good news, folks. Treasure it. Celebrate it. Rejoice in it. Thanks be to God.